Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs. I can feel the tension in my neck and my shoulders just when you say the word balance. So I know that our listeners are probably also feeling the weight when they hear that word balance. It's one more to do. It's one more thing I have to achieve. Hi, Bravies. This is Jessica Pate, mom, storyteller, advocate, and the founder and CEO of We Are Brave Together, whose mission is to preserve and protect the mental health of caregiving moms everywhere. And I'm joined by two fantastic fellow Brave Mom co-hosts to help answer your questions.
Hi, I'm Susanna Peace Lavelle. I'm an author, a certified life coach and soul care coach, and an advocate for the health and wellness of disability families everywhere.
Hi, I'm Dr. Zoe, a licensed psychotherapist, writer, speaker, author, and complex shame expert.
We are gathered here to share our experiences,
share our wisdom,
and answer your questions.
Have a caregiving question? Find the link in the show notes to leave us your message.
May you feel seen and heard and not alone.
Ask us anything.
Hi, Brave Together podcast. I want to start off the new year with more work-life balance. I feel swamped with juggling it all, and I need your help. How do you create balance?
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year. So good to see you guys.
So great. Happy New Year.
Ah, so good to be together. This just fills my heart, my soul. I'm so glad to see you both. And I'm so excited that we are on UK Health Radio. Yay.
Yes.
And we are now on Tuesdays, everyone. For 5.5 years, almost 6 years, we were on Wednesdays. And now we're going to drop new episodes on Tuesdays. And we want to tell you a little bit about UK Health Radio. It's a 24/7 independent internet radio station and podcast platform founded by cancer survivor Johan Ilgen Fritz, dedicated to providing global evidence-based information on holistic health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and medicine, bridging conventional and alternative approaches to empower listeners to take charge of their well-being with expert-led shows and interviews. You can find it on the internet. You can go to their website, UK Health Radio, or go to their app and find them and support them. So this is a new year and we have a new audience. So I think this is a great opportunity to reintroduce ourselves, Zoe and Susanna. So whoever wants to go first, and then I'll go last.
I guess I will go first. Hi, ladies, and hi, UK Health Radio. We're so excited to be here today. I'm Dr. Zoe, and I am a mom to five. My second oldest daughter, Sullivan, has Prader-Willi syndrome. She's 19. And so I've been walking this caregiving life now for 19 years. And I'm also a therapist, a speaker, and an author. And the thing I'm doing right now in my personal life is I have gotten so into chess, which is kind of crazy. I was never really into chess in high school or when I was younger, but I've gotten obsessed with it. And now that I've started playing it, I'm playing it way too much and trying to learn and figure it all out. So that's my current new thing.
Is that relaxing, or is it just like it feeds your competitive vibe? Is it just, what does it do for you?
It's both. It's both relaxing, and I've gotten extremely competitive with it. And I tend to be competitive. I'm an ex-athlete or former athlete, and you know, I always have to find ways to compete. So it's both. But I also know it's training my brain. So I love how quickly I'm able to think more steps ahead before. So I kind of just see like all of the synapses and neurons in my brain just going off. So yeah, it's fun.
That's so great. Susanna.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that is sort of a metaphor for life, right? In terms of like having to know where to navigate and, you know, strategy and okay, someone's doing something unexpected and then you need to shift and swivel and all of those things. So hi everyone and hi new audience. I normally don't sound like this. I've had a cold for like a month or a month and a half. Who knows? It's just ebbing and flowing. I'm just lifing with life right now. But I am Susanna Peace Lavelle. I am an author. I'm a life coach. I am an advocate dedicated to disability families across the globe. Health and wellness is so near and dear to me. I am also a Reiki practitioner. I'm very interested in just leaning into the flow of life. I am raising a 19-year-old daughter. She is in her last year of high school. That's what we call it here in the States anyhow. So we are looking forward to post high school programs. She has myriad diagnoses, including, you know, pretty impactful food allergies. She is on the autism spectrum. She also has ADHD. She is my lovely, beautiful mermaid fairy, neurodivergent, spicy, neurospicy love bug. And she loves choir and singing. And speaking of new activities in midlife, Zoe.
Yes.
I have the last couple of years taken up tennis. And I feel like tennis is also a very great therapeutic outlet in that I can smash things with my racket legally. Okay. I can smash things. I can unleash my feelings onto the court, but I've also been playing competitively. So I joined a USTA league a couple of years ago. So I've been playing, you know, doubles matches, singles matches, and it really is this, it's like a healthy competition. I have to say, it surprises me how much I miss it. Like when it rains occasionally, I'm here in Los Angeles, California, when it rains, like the 5 days a year that it rains here, I just don't know what to do with myself because I can't go outside and hit a ball. So anyway, I am so happy to be here. This is you know, my favorite place to be with two of my favorite women. So
thank you. Thank you. Well, hi everyone. I am Jessica Pate and I am a mom to three and a wife to one. I've been married for almost 3 decades. So it's just hard to believe. my husband is wonderful anchor and support. And my three kids have taught me way more than I have ever taught them. I have a 25-year-old, a 22-year-old, and a 20-year-old. And my second son, Ryan, is the one who made me a caregiver. He was born with a rare genetic disorder called Prader-Willi syndrome and also diagnosed with autism when he was a child. And now he's 22 and he is an adult day program and he is loving it. And I'm just so grateful for what my kids teach me, what my marriage has taught me, and this journey, which is so unique and so different and requires so much. I say exponential motherhood or exponential parenthood requires exponential support. And we understand the power of community. And really, this goes for anybody who is going through chronic hardship or crisis or any kind of loss or life change, divorce, trauma, accident. We need people in our life who get it and who can support us and validate us and who we can learn from and inspire each other. And that is why I created We Are Brave Together, which is a nonprofit that has been around since 2017. And our mission is to preserve and protect the mental health of caregiving moms. And we do that by offering support groups, which we call connection circles. We offer them across the United States and abroad. And we also have respite weekend retreats, which we fundraise heavily to make these retreats accessible for moms. We've put on over 40 retreats. We've given over 200 scholarships for those retreats. And it's a great time to get away and be with other women who get it, to get some good mental health education, to laugh, to have downtime, and to take a break from caretaking. And then we have this wonderful podcast that's been around since 2020. And we published our first book in 2024, and our next book is coming in 2026 to really shout the worth of caregivers and caregiving and to raise awareness about extreme caregiving. So that is what We Are Brave Together is all about. And one of my side passions is storytelling. And it's been a while since I've been on stage to share a story, but I have a show coming up and I'm very, very excited and nervous to do that. I love words. I have always, always loved words. I've always collected quotes. I used to cut words out of magazines when I was a kid. I just love words and phrases and poems and stories and books. And that's probably never going to change. It's not new. It's not a midlife new thing like what Susanna and Zoe shared, but it's an old thing. And it just fills me up.
Well, it sounds like it's a joy thing, right?
It's a joy thing.
Yeah. Love it.
I love the way you said that, Susanna.
Yeah. It is a joy thing. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I can't wait. I have to find out about when this is because I want to partake. Yes.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please come.
Yeah. Front and center. Front and center.
So I think what's beautiful is that we just shared some things in our lives that has nothing to do with caretaking that we love and that we're becoming passionate or are passionate about. And I feel like it kind of brings us to our topic today, which is balance, work-life balance, which we're just going to call a curse word, right? I think you've deemed it a curse word, Jessica. Work-life, that whole balance. And so I want to talk about that today because I know that, especially for moms, and I feel like that word, you know, that balance word is applied more to moms almost than it is to fathers, right? They're encouraged to, you know, go do your thing and it's not so important, it seems. Although we say it in the way that it's kind of encouraged, it feels like it's more about moms, you've got to try to find that balance. And we all also know that it's impossible, which is why I think a lot of us have this visceral reaction to the word, because it's not really possible to have something perfectly balanced when you have a lot of important things going on in your life. And so the way, and I want to open it up to have you guys talk about what you think about when you hear that and how we can encourage moms out there, caregiving moms out there who feel frustrated and shame that they can't kind of keep this whole thing balanced. For me, I truly don't believe there's any such thing as that. I like to think of it as knowing which balls to drop. So we're juggling a lot of things. I work, I have kids, you know, a family, relationships, all you know, passions, and we're often juggling so many things. And it's not about trying to find how we can give them equal time or balance them out, but just knowing your priorities and knowing when things get overwhelming, like I can drop all these things because these are the 2, 3, 4 things that are my absolute priority. And that for me is how I find balance. And it doesn't look like balance in my life because sometimes I'm juggling these things that are really important. And other times I might be juggling some other things, but it's really about discernment about which ones you can let go. And letting go feels hard sometimes. But if we're going to have health, we have to let some things go. What do you guys think?
Well, I love that. And I've got a perfect example of what I did to drop balls. And I don't feel 1 ounce of guilt or at all. I decided last year, I'm not going to host Thanksgiving. And that was a wonderful reprieve from hosting. I also decided we're not going to do family pictures and I'm not going to send out holiday cards.
Good for you.
And I didn't feel guilty about it. I still don't feel bad at all. It was such a nice break. I had to let it go. I was just way too tired going into the holidays. So I made those decisions early on and I stuck to it and I didn't waver. And it was really good to let go of that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And for other people out there who do feel guilt, I'm the one that I drop the balls and I feel the guilt. I still feel the guilt.
Right, right.
And yet I do it anyway because I know that it's healthy and I never regret it. I just have to recognize that guilt was instilled in me from birth and it's going to continue to show up and that's okay. So I'm going to do it and feel the guilt anyway and know that it's good for me.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
Yeah. And I will say that when everything that you both are saying is resonates with me so much. And I will say that when I hear the word balance, first of all, I'm like, okay, so where is this messaging coming from? This idea that we now need to go find balance, in addition to all the other things that are on our list. Right. And so the reason why I sort of have a visceral reaction to the word balance is because then I think of it as one more thing to put on my to-do list.
Right.
And I am trying to come up with every way to remove things from my to-do list. So even if we talk about something beautiful like self-care or so, again, it shouldn't be something that we add to our to-do list that then we're feeling like, for me, even just visually, like my shoulders raise, mm-hmm. I get a little bit tense mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, but so I guess I'm not finding the balance that we're supposed to be finding. What is that? What is the measurement for success? Because this is going to look so different for every single person out there. Our caregiving journeys are so different.
Right.
Our seasons in life are so different. And so let's talk about that.
That is such an excellent point. I really greatly appreciate that. I can feel the tension in my neck and my shoulders just when you say the word balance. So I know that our listeners are probably also feeling the weight when they hear that word balance. It's one more to do. It's one more thing I have to achieve. It's another should in our head, and our inner bully is just running around with all the shoulds related to balance. So I appreciate you saying that, Susanna. We want our parents to not have more to do, not have more pressure, not have more shoulds, but how can I actually have the things in my life that mean the most? Peace, mm-hmm. joy, play, relationships, connection.
You know, I'd like to just do a little confession about something that I gave up, a ball that I dropped for a couple of years in my parenting. And this was My youngers were little. I don't even think my fourth was born yet, but I had three kids under four and was working full time and homeschooling. Crazy. And something that I let go for probably 2 years was dishes. I made us eat on paper plates because I was done. And I know that that was not that great for the environment, but it was really good for the environment in my home. Yeah. It was super healthy because I just could not do another dish. And for almost 2 years straight, we ate, even though we had a cabinet full of wonderful dishes, we ate on paper and plastic because that's how I decided I could live. And then eventually I didn't need to anymore. And we, you know, life changed because life does change. And the kids got older and my capacity, whatever. But that's something that I gave up. And thank you for confessing something that you gave up, Jessica. I also gave up family pictures a while ago and cards. Then I've come back to them, not the cards. I'm never going to send out another Christmas card, but I love receiving other people's. Yes. Susanna, what have you given up?
Well, I'm not quite there yet, but I do have the intention of wanting to give up certain things for sure. I just want to paint a little visual that comes into my head when I think about balance that I think can be helpful for all of us to relate to in terms of what can we cut back on? What can we do? You know, what can we sort of, you know, take off our plate? What feels okay to add onto our plate that doesn't feel so, impactful in terms of disturbing the peace or disturbing our balance, whatever you want to call it. So if you take a big, you know, pizza pie, right? And normally we slice that into eight even slices, they're all the same slices. If we think about our life and all of the things that we're participating in and the things that are important to us in life, maybe one of those slices is career, but maybe we break that down even more. One of those slices is, you know, the new book that I'm working on, right? One of those slices is caregiving. Actually, I would offer that four of those slices of the big pie is caregiving academically, caregiving emotional support, caregiving, advocating for my child in terms of the resources and support that they need, the funding, so forth. You know, so on and so forth. My relationship with my family, you know, partner relationship, right? Then a sliver of, you know, self-care, soul care for me. But when you look at that, even though it seems like it's eight, you know, similar slices, equal slices, really a lot of it is output, output, output from me. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, right? Whatever it may be. And so then there is an imbalance, even though all of those slices look the same. So then now I can look at it like, okay, so some of those, if there's a way that I can whittle down the output for, maybe I can delegate some things, right? I love the paper plates. I'm doing that right now in our season at home because it is my daughter, whose name is Arizona, is in, you know, a season of choir concerts. She is in a season of playing soccer for her school team. And there are so many ebb and flows in that season, right? Because sometimes games are canceled because of the rain, then a pickup is at a different time. And then, right? So things have to shift and change. So now then that means that I need a couple of extra slices of pizza for my tennis and for my walking and for my writing in my journal and for just quiet time and curling up with a good book for 5 minutes or whatever it may be on any given day. Having a beautiful cup of tea helps me. I have such a literal logistical mind. I feel like because, you know, I'm a Capricorn or whatever it is, like my mind really responds to open spreadsheets there. So if I can look at it mathematically, I get this all the time. I'm sure you both do as well. Hey, I have a friend. Can she, you know, her son is, you know, having some issues with his IEP. And do you think that I can give her your number to bounce off some ideas, right? We all get this all the time. And it's also part of our work, right? Yeah. So we don't want to not help somebody, but also we get a lot of those requests, literally the other day, someone asked me that question. And I said, you know what, right now, actually email would be so much better for me as opposed to, you know, like you can happy to send an email because then I can respond, you know, when I'm able to respond as opposed to playing phone tag and so on and so forth. So anyway, that was a long-winded way of thinking about balance in my head. And all that made me think about was wanting to order a pizza because that sounds delicious.
Maybe that's dinner tonight.
Yummy.
I think, you know, we survive and thrive by saying no to things and people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've probably all heard this expression, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. Mm-hmm. So if it's not something that lights you up and brings you energy and joy, then just say no. Now, I know that's really easy for me to rattle off, but we have to really stop and pause and decide what is best for us and our family. And if we're taking care of our mental health, and that's a goal, to take care of our mental health so that we don't completely burn out as human beings, as parents, as caregivers, then we are going to have some boundaries with people, activities, volunteerism, what have you, in order to protect ourselves. And I think it's also important to really take an inventory of all the shoulds in your head.
Yes.
That inner bully that's telling you you should. Is it fact? Is it a fact that you have to go to this PTA meeting or this family gathering? Yeah. And we have to really stop and ask ourselves, you know, is it perfectionism that's driving us to do all the things? Is it people pleasing? We just don't know how to say no. We don't want anyone to be upset with us. We think that there's nobody else who could take on this, whatever it is. So we do it and we make that other person happy, whether that's something in the family, something with friends, something with work, something with our kids' school, what have you. We have to really stop and reflect what is driving us to say all those yeses or to follow all the shoulds.
That's such a great question for someone to ask, because we often get into rote behavior with the assumptions that this is just what we have to do, without ever stopping to think about that. Do we have to cook for that potluck, or can we just stop by and get a, you know, box of cookies? Do we have to do those things? And often we don't think about it. And so we're giving you permission today to question your priorities, but question what needs to be done, what needs to be done that's actually truly serving you and your family. That only you can do. And what balls can you drop today in the service of that curse word balance?
Right.
So Zoe, you said you still battle guilt with saying no. I would love to hear both of your take though on guilt, because I just want to relieve parents of guilt, the unnecessary, I call it false guilt. If you did not do something morally, ethically wrong, we do not need to feel guilty. I think guilt often is about the expectations that we set for ourselves, or we think culture, society, family, friends set for us. And we think we have to fulfill those expectations. And if we don't, then we're wrong. We should feel guilty. And I say no to that.
Yes. You know, guilt is this can be a healthy feeling, physiological response, emotional state that says I've done something wrong to break my moral code, right? So guilt is about morality. And what often happens is that we apply morality to things that have nothing to do with morality. That's we right. decide if I don't serve my family on, you know, our glass plates, then somehow I'm now a bad mom, right? And so then I feel guilty. It's invalid guilt because I've applied morality to something that it's not. I'm still a really good mom, and the kids get the same food if it's served to them on a paper towel or on ceramic or, you know, on silver, whatever it is. And so we have to pay attention to the ways that we moralize behavior that is not. And when we're able to not make our behavior, our choices about morality, then guilt can wash away.
That was such a great way of explaining. That was like the best I've heard lately. That is so good, Zoe. Thank you.
The reframe of that, because as you were saying, Jessica, just before Zoe was sharing that, which by the way was such a beautiful visual for me in my head of just, again, listing out my morals and my values, mm-hmm. like what's important to me. Even when we think about not doing something wrong morally or ethically, we also need to ask ourselves as well, okay, but are these my morals or are these someone else's morals?
Because I am
placing as more important than mine, right?
Yes.
So because we have the societal, you know, side eye, you know, or whatever it is, like looking at us like, are you sure you want to use those paper plates? Are you sure? Because, maybe, you know, right?
That's not very green.
It's not very green. Right.
I own that.
Right. You're like, and I know, and I'm going to do it anyway. Right. So I think there's layers, of course. And so that's what I think about in terms of guilt. I need to get clean within with regard to like what is real and true for me and my loved ones.
Yep.
In terms of keeping my loved ones safe. In terms of me being the one who is the go-to for my daughter for most things, what is good for me is good for the universe right now.
Amen. Yes.
This has been such a really beautiful, actually eye-opening conversation. I love talking about this. So then how can we use a different word besides the word balance?
Ooh, I love that question. A different word besides balance. I mean, what comes up for me is priorities. I'm going to regularly evaluate and reevaluate what my priorities are for this season. I think, you know, sometimes we start out with this concept of our priorities and we imagine that they're just going to stay the same. And then we can really get off because we're focusing on things that don't matter so much in this season. And so for me, instead of balance, it's just, what are my priorities right now? And that's what I'm going to focus on.
I really like that. I really, really like that. What is most important to me? What do I value the most? And what are the activities that follow what I value the most?
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, Bravies.
And honestly, you guys have heard me say this. I really think that the gifts of, you know, altered parenthood is a shift in perspective and priorities. It really helps us, you know, whittle down what is most important. And we can hopefully let some fluff, you know, go that really, really doesn't matter.
Right. And if you're asking that question, how do I know what's most important? How do I, of all the things that I'm trying to figure out and focus on, my answer to you is relationships. That's always the answer, right? How can you focus on making sure that the relationships in your life are prioritized in such a way that you're maintaining them as best as you can. And from that, all of the other things will flow, right? If you're prioritizing relationships, then you'll know what you need to show up for and what you don't need to show up for. When you know your people well and your people know you well, everything will flow from there. And it sounds like, how could it just be relationships? But if you think about it that way, you realize that when you're just focusing on that, then you're going to be able to care for everything and all the right ways, even your work, because part of why you do your work is your relationships, relationship with self and your family. And it will also give you boundaries for your work when you're focusing on relationship.
Mm, that's so good. And, you know, we have to quote the Harvard study, what, 80-year study,
yes,
of, you know, long-term happiness. It's all about relationships. It's all about deep, meaningful friendships. That is the greatest factor, the greatest contributor to our joy and happiness. So I
and longevity.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Longevity. Yes. I so appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah. And it's just further reminder of, you know, the importance of connection, mm-hmm. the importance of conscious connection. And it does require consciousness, you know, it requires effort, it requires focus, it requires, and I'm so glad that you brought up self relationship, relationship to self, mm-hmm. because I feel like, speaking of balance, once we are able to connect with others in a meaningful way and in a consistent way, especially our loved ones, we're not talking about everybody we know, right? Right. We're talking about the important relationships in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we all know who those individuals are. And that is a reminder also often for me to be like, oh, okay, so let me also be conscious with my needs and my desires and my joys and everything else from, you know, from a standpoint of me looking in the mirror and asking myself, you know, being conscious about like wanting connection with me, Susanna. I really appreciate this. And I also feel like it's a beautiful time to say that my connection with you two also is very, very important to me. It's very energizing and it fills my cup. It's important because then I feel less alone. I feel less isolated. I feel like, I'm in this sisterhood and community. One of the beautiful things of being a connection circle leader for the Los Angeles area for We Are Brief Together is that community and connection with my sisters, you know, who are constantly like, okay, when's our next meeting? It's something that we actually have to pay attention to and feed.
We do. We have to be intentional. And I'm just going to do a little shameless plug because I didn't say this before, but if you are a caregiving mom out there to a child or teenager or adult with disabilities, neurodivergence, mental health struggles, medical complexities, any diagnosis under the sun, please join us at wearebravetogether.org. Membership is free and almost everything we offer is free, with the exception of our weekend retreats, which we cover about 75 to 100% of the cost, 100% if you're a scholarship recipient. So please jump into our community because we are here to support you and validate you and walk with you. Connection is so important to our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health.
And also, you know, because we have all these new listeners, I think it's important for everyone to know that we have, you know, members all over the globe. I don't know how many countries. It's everywhere, right?
Yes, we represent 30 countries with our membership.
That's amazing because caregiving is a global thing.
It is. It is. I think back to the original, like, how are you doing with your work-life balance? I think a deeper, richer question would be, how are you pursuing joy these days?
Mm. Yes.
I mean, that just, thank you for that reminder. If someone asked me that, thank you for that reminder. How are you pursuing deep connection? Mm. And it sounds so probably touchy-feely, and some people might roll their eyes, but really, that is what our soul needs. That's what we need as humans, not work-life balance.
Not work-life balance. I love that. How are you pursuing the things that light you up?
Yes.
When you're doing that, you'll do the work and you'll do the other things, but you will experience that. If we want to use the word balance, it's really just joy, knowing that your life feels purposeful and full, both because you're doing good work, you're taking care of the people you need to take care of, you're in good relationships, and you're feeding your soul through your passion. That, if we were going to say what that is, that's work-life balance. And there's no timetable or, like you said, piece of pie that you cut out to determine what goes where. Your heart knows when you are pursuing joy.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Of course, now when you just said pie, I thought about pecan pie. So now I have like pizza and pecan pie, pumpkin pie, apple pie.
Apple pie for me.
Apple pie.
Pizza too.
Yummy. Sorry, I must be hungry. I'm always hungry. No, but I believe that, you know, when we, you know, how they always say, like, do what you love and you never work a day in your life, right? And I feel like the three of us are all so connected to our purpose and passion in the work that we do. Yeah. And so there are ways to intertwine, dance in between the living and the breathing and the working and the living and the breathing and the working, and having it all be some sort of like conscious flowy movement together. Right? Throughout life, I do believe that is available to all of us. I really absolutely do. So I love this reminder, and I'm going to write a little list after we finish recording of all the things that bring me joy that I want more of in my life. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I also want to think, I'm thinking about the listener who is often in the hospital. Yeah. I'm thinking about the listener who is often at home with their child who has medical complexities, or their child who has severe behaviors, and going out in public is just way too scary. It's difficult. There's too much unpredictability about their child's behavior or eloping. I still believe that it is possible to find a little at-home bedside, you know, activity that can bring you joy. It's just a matter of probably trying some new things. You know, like, I've never learned to crochet, or I've never been a crossword puzzle person, or I mean, there's a lot of at-home activities that you could engage in a few minutes here or there to light you up. And you get to, we're giving you permission to figure out what that is. We want that for you. So if you're listening to us and going, well, that's really nice that you have time to play tennis or play chess or do hot yoga or whatever, that's nice for you. We want to tell you that we see you, and that we know that we have caregivers here that are all over the spectrum of caregiving to incredibly intense daily lives, living moment by moment, and others who do have respite care professionals and can take breaks and can step away from the hospital or step away from home and breathe. And we just acknowledge all of you and validate all of your experiences and what you're going through. And we still want you to have moments of joy.
Everyone's pursuit is going to look different and at different stages. Because when I was feeding my kids on paper plates, I didn't have time for anything, nothing, no self-care, which is how I started into writing that book. Because I really had went to a place of burnout, because I dropped as much as I could. And still I was going and really got to that place of burnout. And so I see you too. I've been there. And, you know, we are in a season now that is a little different than we were when our olders were little, but we remember, and I remember that frustration and the despair and feeling like it was never going to end and feeling like I was alone and had no options, right? And yet still, you know, I found my way out of that place by seeking the things that fed me. And for me, it was journaling. It was finding time when all the kids were asleep, that 5-10 minutes of just journaling and just kind of pouring my heart out on paper, which eventually became my self-care book. And so even when you're in the midst of the worst, the darkest, there are things that you can do. And just like you said, in your home, the beauty too is that we have this thing called the internet, which is where you're listening to us right now. And through the internet, we can, in our homes, connect with so many people. I play chess with people all over the world. I don't have time to go to a chess tournament, but I can right. do something, you know, in my own home. And so, yes, even in our own homes, we can still connect with the world, and we are here. And there are other people out there too that can support you in finding your joy.
And if you're out there and you're like, will you please help me to connect? Please send us a message. Please send us a message. We will help you connect with others.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so beautiful about this, you know, unexpected connectedness via the worldwide webs and everything else, right? is that we can, there is access, right? I remember when I was breastfeeding and I was experiencing such debilitating postpartum anxiety and depression, and I was up all night by myself feeding my very fussy child, and I just was so lonely. I was so lonely. But I know that, you know, if it was today, I could at least be playing Words with Friends or Candy Crush on my phone, you know? And honestly, I do know that I would have felt less lonely. I was so, yeah. so lonely. Yeah. I was in despair. So I'm grateful for everyone who is learning about us and listening to us for the first time. We are so here for you. I am just ecstatic about this journey together.
Well, thank you, ladies, for such a wonderful conversation about that word that we will stick our tongue out to, balance. And so we invite you, listeners, to create your own word. Create your own word for that.
Yeah. And the next time someone says, like, how's your work-life balance? You can flip it around and say, actually, I look at it as a joy-life balance. Mm. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. And take that pressure off, like just immediately take that pressure and that to-do off your list. So Bravies, we see you and we love you. And we are so happy that it's 2026 and we're so happy to be here with you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization? We are Brave Together. We are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in-person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats. And we have published our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight. It will encourage and validate every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcasts, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.